Wait, pick it up, groove. Baby girl, watch how you move.
What?
I got the mess on my shoes.
Off up and put it, I lose.
Wait, speed it up. Look at the diamonds, they eat it up. Got me two bitches, I beat it up.
They thinking I'm wiping, they're leading up. Oh wait,
baby, pints in color rock. My brother feel like a sock.
Thinking this though, y'all got it. But when the snake, you can't lock it. Sipping that white, yeah, go to the top. Bustin' your bitch like a clock. She like the suck on my clock.
Everybody, welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown. I am your boy Jersey. All right, we're about to tap in. I see people are tapping in and tuning in. What up, everybody? Welcome to the show. I am your boy Jersey.
Yes.
All right, we're about to get the show cracking. Today we got a lot of dope choreographers in the event. I'm super excited because I get to talk to my dance community and get to really talk to really the people about what's really going down in this game we call dance.
Yes.
All right, we got a lot to talk about. Let's get my boy on the live. I see Caroline's in here early. What up, Caroline?
Yes.
I see Justin Deshawn is in here early. What up, Justin? We about to get you on here. I'm about to ring you in a second, all right? Now, Black Culture The Breakdown is literally an interactive millennial show that breaks down everything about the culture, Black culture, okay?
Yes!
We're tapping into everything that's excellent and really and beyond. You don't have to be Black, but it's just all a part of culture, and it's Black Culture Breakdown. So let's get your boy Justin on the live, and let's get the conversation cracking. Justin? What's going on, everybody? I see y'all. What up, Mr. Kissable? Caroline, what up? Justin, you not ready? I'm calling you, Justin. Like, you don't get the call? Justin, are you ready? That was a test. Oh, there we go.
What's Gunny? What's Gunny?
What up, Just?
We in here.
What's going on, my brother?
Okay, it's good. All right, we good. Boom.
We good. Welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown, my brother.
What's Gunny? You know, I gotta make sure the mic is good.
Oh, okay. You already given us performance, Just. This is why I love you, bro.
You already know. We in my kitchen.
You already
did. Live.
All right, we are definitely on this live, man. We are on Black Culture, and we just here to pretty much talk about from dance to brand, man. And I know you've been in the game for a while, but why don't you kind of give everybody a quick rundown on who you are?
Okay, so my actual name, before I tell everybody, because people be so confused, my name is Justin Deshawn Thomas, okay? But when I first moved to New York, I went by Jay Deshawn. Jay Deshawn is my stage name. Jay is short for Justin. Nobody know how to get that right. It's either Joseph, Jonathan, Jason. So I went by Jay Deshawn. That's how Jay Deshawn came about. But I'm from Jersey. I am 30 years old, black and crack. I've been dancing since I was 3, untrained. Dancing professionally since, I want to say, 2009, after my senior year of high school. A little bit into senior year, into the rest of my life now. I've been teaching since I was 15. I work in the professional commercial world as well as the underground world. I am a pioneer in the Jersey club scene, the party scene. I'm definitely from Jersey, a Jersey boy. I'm bi-coastal between here, LA, whatever state I reside in, and whatever calls me for work. I'm teaching and working as a professional dancer now here in the Bronx. Yeah.
What up, Danny? So Justin, what age did you officially start like dancing professionally? What was like your first like professional gig?
All right, so it's weird. It's funny because I had a lot of mentors that put me onto a lot of experiences first. So it was like I did a lot of unpaid gigs, you know, PlayStation Theater. I would have to say the first gig that I did was for Margie Plus, who's an artist of mine from Spokane, Washington, but moved to New York. And it was for the Mugler Ball about 7 years ago. If you don't know the House of Mugler is a ballroom scene house. It's a part of the voguing scene. So Atoro Lion, shout out Atoro the engineer on Instagram. He caught wind of me from a concept video on YouTube and he was like, yo, I want to start putting you with my artist or this artist that we have in the house, choreograph for her. And, you know, Danielle was in the room. Jonte was in the room, you know, at the event. And it was an experience. And ever since then, we were choreographing and working together. And our first gig that I got to choreograph with her was for the Amber Rose Slut Walk. And we did it for 3 consecutive years. And each year got bigger and bigger, tens of thousands of people. And then ever since then, it was, you know, H&M Balmain, and then Todrick Hall, and MTV, TRL, ultimately to Tiana.
All right. So you started making them coins, Justin. That's what's up. And a lot of people don't get a chance to really even move into that realm. You mentioned a few people. Why don't you go ahead and tell the audience some of the people that you've choreographed and worked with in your dance career?
So, yeah. It's all on my Instagram if you guys want to watch it, because I'm not going to blow smoke off your asses. So I'm going to tell you for real. It was Margie, Amber Rose, and that's how I actually met Jenzi.
Okay.
In Arizona, because she was there choreographing one of the same years that I was there. She choreographed a big set. Working with Chuck Maldonado, who is the choreographer for Stomp the Yard, Save the America's Best Dance Crew. He's worked with So You Think You Can Dance, and that's like my uncle, Tiana Taylor, which I got to help style for, assist with the creative process, Todrick Hall, who else? I did the H&M Balmain show. I got to perform in front of Rihanna. It's great.
Definitely accomplished a lot, you know. You see at 30, your resume is going on and on and on.
So, and it's still growing.
And it's still definitely growing. There's a lot of people in the audience right now that are probably aspiring dancers. And, you know, you've listed so many things on your credits. For someone that's kind of getting into dance right now and they wanted to kind of go.
House of Ninjas, hold up. My boy Boogie is in here. What's up, Boogie? Oh, my God. I ain't seen him in that long.
People that want to be able to jump into that career, how would they begin that process? What's the cleanest, easiest way?
Placing yourself, you know how they say there's a time and a place for everything, or being in the right place at the right moment. In order for those right moments to occur, you have to put yourself in the proper place at the proper time. And being around the right people, being in the right classes so the right people can see you, so you can be exposed to the quality training. Boog, I was a part of a dance company from Jersey called Funkinometry. They were the East Coast branch of Funkinometry SF, San Francisco. And the choreographers and the directors, they were friends with choreographers like LaShawn, Rhapsody, Boogie, Neil Schwartz, Jared Jenkins, and they all actually came in and choreographed the piece for us. So me being around Boog and Jonte and Jared Jenkins, that exposed me to, these are the choreographers that are booking. These are the choreographers that are teaching the style that I need to be learning from, or they have what I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah.
So being around the right people and being humble.
You said being humble. That's the key right there.
Yeah.
Being around choreographers that were booking. So explain to the times, I feel like there's a trend that happens and dancers like to gravitate to whatever the trend is. But that choreographer is the one that's booking all the jobs, then I guess it makes sense why all the dancers would want to go and take that choreographer's class, correct?
Yeah.
Now, for dancers that, if you're in a class of 100 people and maybe the choreographer is only trying to book 3 or 4 people, what are your odds of, you know, getting discovered that way? So what would you suggest?
It's so funny you asked that, because just this morning,
okay,
I took a 4-hour half-day intensive with Ryan Miller. Hmm. And he literally started off the intensive as an audition. He sent us the choreo last night. Everybody had to learn it and was like, yo, all right, audition. I'm going to put you in groups of 5, switch lines. And long story short, he kept certain people at a certain time, and he released people. And it was a mock audition, and he didn't keep me, but it was because it's like you can't wait to pull up. When you get into that audition, or when you get into that space to where the choreographer is asking something of you, or they're in 9 times out of 10, they're not going to ask you. They're just going to say, all right, here it is, do it. Boom, you got to be on. And working with Ryan today really taught me, like, yo, you got to be on from the moment you step in the room, because they are watching. Absolutely. Your energy is also important.
Yes.
Because if you're, they're not responsible for the energy in the room. You are. So if you aren't bringing the energy and the artist comes in, they're going to see, like, oh, I don't like this person's energy. Let them go.
Absolutely.
So it's like you got to be on your P's and Q's every time you walk into the room. Today, if I didn't learn anything else today, I learned that you got to be on. Like, and if your teachers aren't taking classes, if the choreographers that you're trying to train with aren't training themselves, then that's not where you need to be, because they're not on themselves, you know?
Okay. Yes! Thanks. So, everybody, make sure y'all listen to what Justin's talking about, because he's definitely dropping facts, and he's dropping for free. Okay? Now,
yeah, for free. And y'all got to take advantage of this shit. When people giving y'all stuff for free, it's like, when you get it for free, you're less inclined to put your all into it. I feel like that's ass backwards, where a lot of dancers have to really start putting, if people let you guest, if people are sending you and inviting you to session, you need to be there. And you need to be present, and you need to give your all. It doesn't matter if it was free, because I guarantee you, if you had to pay $45, $50 for a workshop with Paris Gobel or with the top choreographer, you're going to put, if Sean Bankhead came, you was going to put your all into that. So the same thing goes if it was free. Sing in front of a few as you would for 1,000, you know?
Man, Jesse, definitely.
Yes!
100% facts. So now talk to us about your brand, man. I feel like you built your following, a cult-like following, that whenever you drop a class, they pull up for you, bro. So how were you able to develop your following and your brand? Talk to us about
I feel like I was ahead of my time.
Okay.
A lot of the things, like, you know, the MySpace era and when Facebook and Tumblr was out, I branded myself like, I really thought I was Beyonce at one point. So, like, when Beyonce was doing the visual shit, I was like, boom, 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 boom. I'm going to do boom. I just have a creative eye. I realized that I'm really well at balancing the ratchet with the prestigious, the ghetto with the fabulous, the masculine with the feminine. So my brand became about the two sides. You got Jay Deshawn, do-do-do-do-do-do, and then you got Jay Deshawn, you got two different ones. You got Justin and Jay Deshawn. But I learned how to balance that and live unapologetically in that. Because I realized once certain people or groups weren't booking me, I had to book myself.
Okay.
My name held weight as far as what I was doing and the content that I was creating. Even down to, like, I style. So, like, the way I dress spoke for itself. At one day you can catch me in a heel with some leggings and a crop top. The next day you're going to catch me like this. For the past year, it's been like this. people getting accustomed to this. But I branded myself off of doing everything purely for myself, by myself, with the means of inspiring someone else to do so. But I learned that that's a dangerous game to play if you're not somebody that's in my position or higher that has already made a name for themselves and took the proper steps. Because people wanna have their own name, their own brand, their own lane, but you know, there's a speed limit on the road. You know, you can't be going 95 and a 60.
Definitely.
And a lot of the dancers now are going 95 and a 60 and not really taking that time to stop, see the sights, take in the landmarks, because you got to remember where you're going. If you get lost on your way there, you're not going to get to your goal. So, like, I really prided myself off of the balance and who I was training with and where I wanted to be as a performer. And I know who I am as a person. You know who you are as a person, you will know who you are as a performer. Everything will follow through after that.
That's 100% fact.
Yes!
All right, man. Bro, you definitely kept it all done. And we appreciate you coming all, giving us all the information that we need. But the next segment on here, Justin Deshaun, please stay in the comments. Drop a lot of gems. We definitely going to talk again soon. Appreciate you.
See you guys.
All right. And if y'all don't know, he got a class pulling up. So make sure y'all pull up to his class.
Yeah, I'm teaching on Thursday. Logan, so make sure y'all pull up.
Okay. Make sure y'all pull up Justin Deshaun's class on Thursday.
Yes!
I see y'all.
Justin Deshaun, everybody. All right. So that was Justin Deshaun. Make sure y'all tapping in with him because he really dropped a lot of gems, all right?
Yes!
Justin's actually super swag. He taught a few classes already at Lotus and he be having the place on fire. What up, Layla? Layla's a superstar. What up, Layla? How we feeling?
Yes!
Algin, what up, bro? All right, let's get Caroline on here. We got some other superstars in the building. Dancers are superstars, all right? They're going to put some respect on our names out here. Let's keep the show going. Woo, just what's up? Welcome to the show.
Hey, oh my God, I'm loving this.
Listen, I'm appreciating and loving you know, on the show. Welcome to Black Culture.
Thank you. Thank you.
From dance to brand. Yes. You have got a brand. All right. And we're going to just get into it. Okay. Justin saying, hey, girl.
Hey.
So let's just jump right into it. So, what age did you start dancing professionally?
So I came up through the competitive dance scene and I pretty much started right after high school at 18, really in the contemporary world. And then I started training in hip hop choreo classes, house and popping. And that was kind of my intro to street styles and kind of the commercial world. And then pretty soon after that, I went on to So You Think You Can Dance Canada, the first season that we had here in Canada, because I'm Canadian, and really got involved and networked with the choreographers on that show. Like Luther Brown is a good friend of mine who I've worked with for many years, and a few other choreographers, Sean Cheeseman. And that really launched my commercial career and got me set off on my path.
So you already kind of had gradual growth in the process then. So now you competitively, so you already understood what it was just to kind of go for something and just try to make sure you get that. So now let me ask you that. Through that process, how important was it for you to network? How important was networking?
Honestly, networking is I don't want to say it's more important than talent, because obviously talent is so, so important, and studying your craft and really honing your skills. But I have seen many, many, I'm pretty old, maybe compared to some people. I'm 35 now. So, you know, I've been doing this for a while and I've seen some talented dancers who were really recluse and didn't go out there and meet people and didn't insert themselves in the worlds that they wanted to be in. Similar to what Justin was saying when he was on, how, you know, putting yourself in those environments is so important. That's the only way people are going to see you.
Yes.
You, right? So, you know, some of the biggest jobs I've gotten to do have been because I already knew someone, or I met someone through a friend, or even now in our age of social media, like, you can network for free without leaving your house. I mean, I met you on Clubhouse, right? Okay. Like, like, that's how it happens. And you obviously have to be prepared, and you have to have the skills to back it up. And, you know, people within your network need to see what you could do and see, like, that's quality. I want that dancer, or that's quality. I need that kind of choreography. But you got to get yourself out there. So I think it's definitely a game that we don't always like to play. Myself, sometimes I don't like to do the networking, and I hate the schmoozing and all that. But there is, you can find your way to do it, and you can, like, make genuine connections with people. That's the best way, for sure.
You know, so let's just even get even a little bit deeper. Because how many times have we seen super talented dancers that don't go anywhere because the business isn't right, or the speaking isn't right? Some people, some dancers, don't know how to have a conversation. You know, sometimes that is the difference between if you get a job or not, regardless if you get or not. You know, so a lot of that gets lost in translation too, because you're talented means you don't know anything else or know anything. You know, a lot of times I get that question, like, hey, I'm so good, but nobody ever picked me. And I'm like, So break down whatever you are on that.
I think that there's two extremes to that. And one extreme is the dancer who is so talented and is so amazing, but doesn't put themselves in the right environment and just kind of gets forgotten about, right? That's you have to make yourself known, and you have to find places where you will shine and where you will thrive and people will recognize your skill, but you got to put yourself in those places. So I've definitely seen the dancers who, you know, don't participate, who don't put themselves in, you know, obviously right now it's COVID, so we don't have those live events and showcases and things like that that we normally would, but you have social media, and there's a way to do it there. So I think there's, that's one extreme. And the other extreme is just not making good impressions when you are networking and not being easy to work with. And that's a big part of networking, especially I've learned in film and television, which is the realm that I mostly work in. Your next job is usually a recommendation off your last job, right? So if you're not pleasant to work with, if you are difficult as a dancer, I like my creative director on a show that I work with, he's like, I love this dancer, they're a pain in the ass, I don't want to deal with them. And that's what happens, you know? So you got to know how to network. You got to know how to make, you've got to be a good person, as, you know, silly as that sounds, but you have to be able to make connections with people and vibe with them and find, you know, authenticity, and people respond to that. And then they're like, I don't even know if you're right for this job, but I want to work with you. I'm going to remember you, and I'm going to bring you on to something. So meeting people and making meaningful connections, that's the best way.
Now, in terms of what you're for you're working on, looking for the person to show up and be consistent, or are you looking for that person that, because look for both, and if you don't get both of them, which one is it that you have?
I mean, I've been pretty lucky that there is a sphere of dancers in Toronto right now that are awesome in every single facet. You know, they're versatile. They can do a shit ton of, like, styles. They're so versatile. They're good people. They are skilled in, you know, professionalism and understanding, you know, what a choreographer needs. And so I've been really lucky to, I would say, find both in some people. If I had to choose, though, if it came down to it, I think, unless it was a very specific, like, this is a commercial, it's a one-day shoot, or this is a music video, they're just coming in and freestyling and doing their thing, and there's not a whole lot of, like, collaboration, I could deal with a diva in that sense. You know, I would maybe put up with it. But if it was my choice, and I know this is, like, a 3-month contract on a film or on a show, I want someone who I want to be around for 3 months.
Yes.
Sometimes just being consistent and showing up all the time, letting us see that you're present is like half the battle. Like literally half the battle.
Because it is.
Once there's a gig, and if it's a 3 month contract, just said, we know that you're going to show up if it's a commitment.
And there's hella talented dancers who are consistent, who are good, fun, exciting energies to be around. They exist out there. So if you're not that, someone else is ready to take your place, you know?
Oh, okay now.
That's the world.
It's fun. You know how it would go. Now, let's kind of get into what we think dance is right now. The current state of dance. You know, there's a lot of TikTok going on right now, right? So just talk to us about what you feel about the current state of dance and TikTok.
Oh, it's, you know, it's a touchy subject. I have a mixed feeling about it because I think that it's never bad for dance to be exposed to more people. And that is really one of the upsides of TikTok, right? It makes it accessible for people. It's a platform that dancers can use right now to find, you know, a following, especially because it's a new platform and there's like a lot of, oh, can you hear me? My low battery thing came on. You know, it's I'm not really active on TikTok. I haven't figured out how to use it for what I want to do because I'm more moving into the like directing space and working on my own like dance films and directing music videos. So I'm not doing the dances, the TikTok dances, you know, but I think it's there if you can use it to your advantage. I think dancers should. I've definitely been asked in many circumstances as a choreographer being like, yeah, and make sure this one section is like the TikTok dance of the show or the two counts of eight. The two counts of eight, that's going to be the like TikTok repeatable choreography that from this music video. And that's a thing that like, especially producers who they want this movie or this music video to live on beyond just the product itself, but to have a life, you know? And I think that
does that make you feel like you're cheapening your, does that, you know what I'm saying? I don't even want to say cheapening, but you know what I'm saying? Like you're making it more trendy and it's watering down your creativity slightly. Do you feel that?
Both times it was like brought up for me, it actually made sense for the scene. Like, so for one time it was for this movie I choreographed where the girl was learning how to DJ. So she was already standing behind a DJ booth. So movement wise, it kind of made sense that it would be, you know, more arm movements instead of like full on choreography. So I was like, okay, I can think of something. I can come up with something that I feel good about that still kind of delivers what they're asking for. And that's the game you play, especially as you move up in this world, you're in the middle between like this, like I'm a dancer and I'm an artist and this is my truth and this is what's authentic. And then this like producer network world where they're your boss and you want to do a good job, but you want to stay authentic. And you're always like kind of balancing the two and each situation is a little bit different. And you just have to find that like, where do you fall and what do you feel good about and what can you put out there that's a little bit of this TikTok world but not compromising your integrity?
Well, you know what, Caroline? I see in the future that you are going to be the big boss, okay? That these choreographers 5 years already see it in existence.
Hey.
And we're going to be able to change that narrative and make sure that our art is down and trying to fit what's trendy. Because then when it's no longer a trend, then they'll just understand what's
exactly.
So tell us before you go, Caroline, what's next for you?
Okay, what's next? Well, I'm still trying to work as a choreographer. I love choreographing, I love dance, it's my heart. But I'm also becoming a director and I've started directing things. I've been studying film and directing for a few years now, and now some stars have aligned and some pretty cool projects have come to me that, or I've made come to me through just putting my work out there and constantly creating and wanting to build that portfolio more. And I started a production company with my husband called Hallowed Grounds. And that's, you know, kind of where we produce all of our dance films and where we produce music videos and content for different brands, and just building that world up and keeping on learning, you know, just next and next and next.
Well, listen, you're inspiring, you definitely, and for free.
I give.
Caroline, I'm here if you need a test choreo.
Hey, okay.
All right.
Yeah. So
Justin is down for the cause. Let's make sure Dan stays perform alive and keep it true and right and not something that's trendy. So
absolutely.
Appreciate you coming on here and dropping all of your gems. Not going to be a strange. I'm definitely.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you. Caroline, everybody. So now we're gonna get Tiffany on here. Oh, Caroline's still here.
How do I get out of here?
There we go. All right, Caroline, everybody. That's right. All right, so we had Justin Deshawn earlier that was dropping gems, okay?
Yes!
And giving us a performance. Justin's definitely one of the realest ones in the game right now, all right?
Yes!
Yeah, Caroline, that's giving us all the sophistication and everything that we need to be able to tap into this next level that choreographers need to start to think of as being a creative director and start getting into that film space, all right? That is everything.
Yes!
All right, but let's get Tip on the line. What up, Tip?
Hey!
Got Tiffany Ray Beast in the building.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Let me turn this up. I got my sage here.
Okay, all right. That's right. Love it. I love you. Got the energy right.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Ain't playing no games.
Okay.
AJ Deshawn.
Kid, welcome to Black Culture, the Breakdown Queen.
What's good? I'm excited to be here.
I feel like you've had such an amazing transition from a 2020 to 2021. And I wanted to just definitely get you on to talk about how you've created your brand. You know what I'm saying? And you've had quite a few viral moments and quite a few dance moments. Let's just even be real. It's not even about viral. You really just dancing your ass.
Exactly. It's about dance.
Yeah. All right. That's so, why. You was really dancing. You was creative. But I want you to really bring it back to the beginning for the peoples real quick and tell me how you even got into dance and then what was your first like real gig.
I started dancing at 5 years old. My mother was a dance teacher, which some people don't know. She was a professional dance teacher and she also was a dancer when she was younger. So she taught me everything from the beginning, like ballet. We was mainly doing street jazz, West African specifically. And I didn't even get into hip hop yet until like, till I got older. And then like, I couldn't afford classes. So I would always like go to the community center or do street hip hop in the streets. Like that's where I really learned hip hop from. The community center in my community was really where I learned hip hop. And then from there, that's when I trained professionally at Wiley Performing Arts High School. I went to college for dance as well. So, and then I started right after college, I came into this industry and I'm like, oh my God, it's a whole hip hop industry. And that's when I started to train more and developing my style and my choreography and just keep training, of course. So. That's how I started out.
Okay. Well, yes. Tiff, you definitely had a journey. You know, like, we've known each other for years.
Exactly.
Now. So, me to even watch where you're coming from to where you are right now, I have to see your roles and your props.
Thank you.
This is kind of, I get it, you have, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And
just to even have sustainability in this industry is a difficult
thing. Yes.
So I feel like you emerged really though last year with your viral moments, dance moments, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
About all of that and then exactly how you got on Missy Elliott's page.
Oh, okay. So, honestly, even when I create, I don't look to go viral. That's not the ultimate dance goal for me as an artist. My goal as an artist is really to touch mainly regular people, not even just dancers, regular people, and get their like interpretation of my dance and my art. And when someone comes up to me and says, oh, this is how your piece made me feel, or this is how I see it differently, or we have debates over certain about like, you know, racism or something in my piece that touched them differently, I feel like that's the ultimate goal for me as a dancer. So when Missy did share it, it was it definitely touched me, because I'm like, wow, like someone sees me, you know, mainly someone who I look up to. Missy Elliott, I've looked up to her for years, so even as a little girl. So the fact that she even shared me, it was like, thank you. It was like, thank you so much. Even though I knew deep down inside, of course, I knew I was dope. I didn't need nobody to tell me that I was dope. But it was just, she inspires me so much. It was like, thank you. So that moment when she shared it, it was like, I wasn't even looking for, this is supposed to be a quick video. Like I tell everybody when they interview me, I did this like in a day. I choreographed it in a day because I just wanted to drop something real quick before I dropped my other video, which was Unearthed Birmingham. So I was just trying to just do this for the culture, something cute, like just to, you know, because I feel like the Parkers for me was, it was all about plus size women, mainly women of color, really stepping out and being proud of themselves. So for me, I related to that, and I'm like, I want to do something, you know, I want to just do a little tribute to them. And I wasn't looking for it to be like this big thing to go viral, because even before that, none of my stuff was like going viral, but for me it was going viral in my head because I knew I was so dope. Like when people reached out to me, I always felt like I'm going viral in my head anyway. So when it was like reaching to Missy and other platforms, I'm like, y'all see me now, but I've been out there. But basically,
first of all, I want to just say this too. When that video, before the video went viral, you dropped the video, I reached out to you to do the Nightbox class.
Yes.
And I want to know that you really got this train rolling with the Nightbox classes. Right now, 23 choreographers on the roster, and you started off maybe at like the fifth choreographer, but you had that train going because everything is aligned. The video went viral. The week later, you was in the class with us.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
So as soon as you dropped the flyer, your class sold out within like 20 hours.
And yeah. Like,
yo, this is crazy. So shout out to you. For this.
Thank you. Shout out to y'all, man. Keeping us dancing out here, man.
It's all about really keeping the arts real. And I feel like everybody need to understand that you have to give props when it's due.
Exactly.
And you got to learn how to be a community in order for us move forward.
Yes. Oh, shout out to Sibo. He's a teacher in industry. He always show love to me. I just appreciate him so much. So shout out to him.
Yes. Anybody that's showing love. That's why for me, I don't feel like it's competition. I don't feel like it's anybody that's
We're gonna get into that.
Don't definitely get into that, but that's why I have you come to the school, because I feel like you have something dope to bring to the table, and people should get to learn from you in any capacity. And if I feel like I have a space, why not come in here and teach? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's definitely what it is for me. So Tiff, let's get into why you created Ray Beast. Like, what was?
Honestly, at first I created it just to talk about, just so I could have a voice. For a long period of time, I felt like it was just something that I was holding off in myself. Even through college, I did dance pieces, I did a solo, I did a lot of stuff, but I feel like I wasn't heard, you know, throughout my life, like going through struggles, going through obstacles. I just felt like I just needed to talk. I need someone to hear me, you know, I just needed to tell my story. And at first it started as me, you know, wanting to tell my story. And then I'm like, it's touching everyone else too in a different way. Like many people reach out to me and say, you know, your story inspired me. I went through the same thing. Or even if it's about something, even if it makes them sad, makes them smile, or if it's a good visual. So that's what I love about it the most. So I'm like, I need to keep going at Ray Beast, mainly for people who are like me and they're going through the same thing. And I just want to push them in a way where they have hope and, you know. And shout out to QCC.
Yes.
That's my college.
What's dope about you is your, if I ever pull up to a Ray Beast class, she got kids in there. And she got literally people that's about 7 feet tall in there. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, you bring the whole community out. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Your dance is just as colorful as your choreography. You know what I'm saying? And it's definitely a community vibe. And you give them a challenge. And what I love about your class is, because I sit down and I watch everybody teach.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? So I see what's going on. And it's definitely a community fight. Everybody's like, yo, we gonna fight this battle together because, you know, Tiffany's choreography got us, you know, in her world, but we gonna fight this battle together. And it's definitely that, even with the kids, they fight with you, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I love that. That's that beast. You know,
yes, and I love that I'm able to, I wanna just show everybody, like, all levels could get it. Like, every level could get any type of choreography if you just practice and you just, you know, it's all in your mind. It's a mind game. Because I used to go to classes and I'd be like, I used to like be horrible, but I'd be a great dancer, but in classes I was horrible. I'm like, why? Because it's in my head. Like, I'm not telling myself that I'm good enough. When I go in, I need to have that confidence already, like, I got this. So from there on, with the moment that I said I got this and I came into class, it was like, yes. And I feel like that's what I tell my students every time, like, we start, before we start, I said, this, everybody's at one level. This ain't no competition. I'm not better than y'all. Y'all not
better than me.
It's none of that. Like, we on one level. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's gonna really help dancers, you know, be able to train and learn, because you have to come in and just let your, you know, even if you don't want to be overly confident come to class, because that's a bad thing too, because when you're overly confident, you come in thinking that you know everything, and then you don't apply what the teacher's saying to you. So I feel like that's very important to just have a balance in between. Have confidence, but know when to, like, all right, I need to learn, I need to take it in, you know, so.
Tiff, you definitely dropping a lot of gems, and you're doing it for free, okay?
Yeah, right.
So, people, if y'all really not tapping into what she's saying, it's really on one level. No matter if everybody has different strengths and different weaknesses, just gotta make sure that we helping each other, because we really all just one community. Can't nobody dance by themselves. You can't dance by yourself, but guess what? You need to dance with somebody. All right, somebody need to hire you. Guess you're gonna have to be a part of an ensemble. It's just the way that it is. You understand? There's a light crew, there's a casting director. Everybody has a job, okay?
Everyone has a job. You're gonna get that too. I was waiting for the right question.
All right, Tiff, what is next for you before you go? Tell us what's next for you.
It's a lot. I feel like I'm definitely gonna. I don't like to keep myself in a box, definitely. You may just see some, it may not even be just dance, okay? So just be like, you never know.
Okay.
I definitely don't want to keep myself in a box. I like to just explore different ways of art and different forms of dance as well. So yeah, it's going to be a lot. You know, I don't like to reveal everything, but just follow me. At Tiffany Ray Beast, you know, follow the girl.
You're so creative. I definitely see you moving in visuals a lot, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's where I've been dwelling that a little bit now. And it's, I'm telling you, your creativity, the way that you put things together, you technical. Visuals is definitely the next step for you. Movies?
Yes.
Oh.
Thank you. Yes, Jada Sean, bring me over. You know,
Yes, Justin Deshaun be cooking.
For a meal.
We definitely see that. All right, we about to get, what up, Fatima? Fatima in the building. What up, Fatima?
Hey.
All right, we about to get Adrian in the building. But thank you so much, Tiff.
Thank you for having me.
And no worries, and we're going to definitely talk soon. This ain't even the beginning. It's just
right.
Continue with
Bye.
Hate you, Tiff. All right, bye, Tiffany. Ray Beast. I want y'all to understand when talent comes around, gotta appreciate that, right?
Yes.
Like, that's raw talent. Tiffany really got that. She hits like I've never seen. Textures, energy, execution. It's crazy. Let's get Adrian on the live. What up, Layla? What up, bro?
Yo, what's poppin'? My fault. Let me back up my screen all close and stuff. What's good?
What's going on, Adrian? Welcome to Black Culture, the Breakdown, man.
Appreciate it, man. I'm so appreciative to be here, man. I'm all about it.
Of course, man. I'm appreciative of you being here. We're talking about everything dance, and we're talking the conversations from dance to brand. And, man, you have created quite a brand for yourself.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Want to get into all of that, but let's first bring it back to the beginning. At what age did you start dancing professionally?
Man, well, professionally, I moved to LA at 22. But as far as when I started taking dance, like really serious, was probably around like high school. It became a way for me to get out of gym class, and I was just 100% with it. I was like, yeah, let's. I was like, I ain't gotta go out there. It's hot. I'm from Houston, Texas. I was like, I ain't gotta go do that. I can sit here and pretend like I'm Usher or somebody. Shoot, I'm for it. So I was completely into that. But I also, most of all, I have a sister who's a professional dancer out here in LA as well. Her name is Jenna Tompkins. She moved out here, and she kind of just showed me it was even possible. I had no clue on how to even go about beginning it. You know, I was just a Houston, so real kid, like the only black guy in it, just out there living my best life, just in a dance crew. So, yeah.
Wow, so you was just like in humble beginnings then in a weird way. Like, I'm just trying to figure it out. Your sister was...
I'm still in humble beginnings, bro. Okay. Like, if I...
Man, I respect that big time.
Thank God for the experiences and everything, man.
Definitely. All right, so then now, you've done so much already, but like, walk us through that process. Like, how did you get to where you are? You're currently Tinashe's choreographer. And, you know, I want to know, but even before getting to that point, because a lot of choreographers and dancers, you know, never even worked with an artist on that caliber before. Didn't even know how to get to that situation. So just to kind of give advice, if you can give it, how was that process and that journey like for you?
For the process getting with Tinashe or just as a dancer in general?
Tinashe just being able to get to that status and not working with people that are on major level.
Oh, man, it's just like everybody's been saying, it's all about, you know, just it, like networking is a really big deal, but it's also about just being that dancer that choreographers can trust. You know, it's one thing, you know, if we in rehearsals all day and you messing up, all right, you know, I want you to get it right. But at the end of the day, as long as you deliver when it's time for you to really deliver, man, and you just are able to be consistent with that and you cool people, like, it works. Like, you know, and then most of all, you don't even want to overthink about just like networking, that kind of stuff. You just want to ride your wave, like figure out your own way.
Absolutely. So now you just mentioned just being consistent. So we were talking, I was talking with Caroline earlier, how talent and, you know, work ethic or talent and networking can sometimes go against each other. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes some dancers don't have both. If that makes sense. So you, when you're casting or when you're recruiting or however, whatever you're working on a project, are you looking for someone that's gonna give you consistency, or are you looking for someone that's about to really kill whatever the choreography that you're about to set? You know, if you can't have it both ways.
Okay, yeah, you better, yeah, if I can't have it both ways. All right, you know, I needed the clarification. I was gonna be like, I want it all. So I guess to me, it's just mostly about people who just come in and just catching the vibe, man. Like there's a fire that I will say that is missing a lot of times in some situations when it comes to like dancers, just as far as like just knowing when to put the pedal on the gas, you know, knowing when to like, you know, hit things with different textures, like just all that type of stuff. And for me, a lot of the times when I do artist work, like unless it's like a we are specifically casting for a certain vibe, like me personally, I just want you to come in and just hit it. Like just hit it as not as hard as you can, but like hit it, be in the pocket of what it is and just have a great time. Like, and just because, and just come with good vibes. Don't come with the extra attitude. Leave it outside. Like, yeah. I leave my attitude outside. You leave your attitude outside too. And yeah, Jenna is a legend. Yo, what's good?
They definitely showing you love in the comments, man. This Gen Z said your sister is a legend, right?
She is. Jenna Tompkins. Jenna has literally danced from everybody. Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. From, I think Carrie Hilson was her first gig, and now to this day, she's still doing Lady Gaga stuff. Like, and this is probably her second or third time going back to Lady Gaga. She just got options.
You're celebrating people that, you know what I'm saying? The fact that you followed in her footsteps, you know what I'm saying? To now be able to be like, yo, I've kind of gotten this, you know, on your own merits. Now you've been able to kind of hustle your way up. And now you're Tinashe's full-fledged choreographer and creative director, right? Yeah. How was that link up for you? And then tell me how challenging it was. Step into that box to kind of give her the dopest visuals. Talk to us about that.
I started working with Tinashe back in, as a dancer, I was dancing for, I want to say it was like, what was that, 2014, whenever 2-1 and all that came out. I started working with her back then, and we just been friends, like, since then. So it just kind of all just faded together, like, just in due time. Like, it was time that I was ready to move forward as a choreographer, and it was an open slot, and it was just like, yo, like, I just shot the shot. I was like, when you ready, like, I'm ready. Like, let me know, like, I'm ready to, like, step back a little bit from dance stuff. I can definitely, you know, I'm one of those kind of people where, man, like, if I know somebody else would rather be somewhere and I would rather be somewhere else, then I'm going to try to go where I would rather be more so. Mm-hmm. And just saying that in terms of I'm not getting no younger. And the, you know, I'm not trying to be dancing, bussing, rolling around on everybody's floor, all that like that no more. Like, no, man, like, I'm trying to get past that. I'm trying to get to the next level of that, which that's definitely a phase that we all should definitely go through. Anybody who wants to be choreographer, creative director, artistic director, dancer, like, go through the full steps. Because if I tell you, just even me as a new choreographer, I'm already adapted to all of the issues that may happen, that may come in any situation. If you don't, if last second the artist is like, I want to do something a little less. Okay, cool. I make up steps on the spot. Like, I'm not one of those kind of people where I got to come in here fully prepared. This eight count. Nah, like, I can give it to you on the spot. If you don't like something, you want to swipe, be honest with me, tell me, and then boom, I move forward.
I like the way. Man, real easy and smooth. Yeah.
Look, I'm all about that. I'm all about what, let's make this happen. Like, let's just make the most epic shit, excuse my language, ever, and let's have fun. And that way, when we do it again the next time, we ready to have fun once again, man. Like,
okay, well, man, that's definitely how it's. Now, talk to us about, well, I know for you, you're in a different situation, but competition, all right? I want to really just make sure we highlight that as dancers. I'm sure you even see it, maybe not amongst yourself, but I'm sure that's always like that too with different choreographers. It's always like that. But, you know, just with dancers, this competition itself, how destructive do you think that is to the
man? It, I think for myself, once you accept yourself and you just learn you are, you got, like, all the other thinking about competition, thinking about all that stuff, you can't really control. It's out of your hands, and all it's gonna do is stress you out even more just trying to worry about that. So literally, like everybody's been saying, it's really about having your energy together. It's about you, and that goes on all perspectives. That goes from if it's a gig, if it's a friend, like, it's all that. It's your personal energy. So you really get the energy you put out a lot of times. And if you aren't getting the energy that you put out, then this might not be the place that you need to be putting your energy. Like, one truth about this I've learned about being out here in LA is somebody might not like you, but guess what? This person right here might like you. And this person right here definitely might be that one that's just on the wave. And and all you can really do is just center yourself. Like, that's why, like I said, like, I've just learned just to really don't stress about nothing. Cause I think about all the times I'd be like, man, you could really have had a 9-to-5 by now. Like, this could really not be your life. And that could really be, you know, the hell on earth to me per se, you know. No, all love to everybody who do it. I appreciate it. It's all for it. World go round. But at the same time, I know that's not my thing. So it's everything I feel like is, it starts with you. It starts with you as the individual. Like, 100, yo, beyond your talent, it's who you are as a person.
Absolutely. And you know what? What I like about even everyone that I've had on the show, because dancers sometimes don't necessarily like to share spaces with others, whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that I was happy to get all five of y'all on the live, like, guys, or whatever, each other, and it's so evident. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That, I appreciate you for having me, man.
Of course, man.
Yes!
And that, I think, is the first step. And this is why you've gotten to where you are, because your personality already speaks. I don't even really know you like that, but I can tell your personality already speaks for itself, so you're going to get access to whatever, because they trust you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Really, half the battle is just being a good person and just doing the work.
And it's not even hard.
Hard. You know, and I promise you, once you're a good person and you do the work and you actually really want to dance and choreograph, it's going to follow suit. Even if you're good in the beginning or you're working on it, it's going to follow suit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just as long as you're consistent. But man, so now you started choreographing with, you know, like, choreograph. What was your first, like, okay, like, I got a published choreographed gig, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like all your choreography on TV. What was your first gig that you remember?
So my choreographed?
Yes.
Okay. Then that's real recent. It's the Tinashe stuff that's been coming out. All the stuff that, anything with her, that's been more recent. I've been like heavy dancer, heavy assistant on stuff. Like, of course I've assisted like with like Keisha Cole, with Mariah Carey. I've assisted with several things. Yeah. But something like, just as for me, like, yeah, that this is real. That's why I said I'm still humble. Like, I'm still there.
But and that's still a publishing credit that is still yours, and it's, you know, that came on that choreo. It's still a big deal, because some people dance their entire careers and still don't have one choreography credit.
Yeah.
I'm saying, so you got to still celebrate when especially when young black brothers are still doing
it. Yeah. Right. 100%, man. 100%.
Too, and our black queens too. But yeah. So what's next for you? Man, you're already doing so much. What's next for you? What's next?
Man, I'm just going to be putting out more stuff, man. I'm working with a few artists out here. I can't really speak on that, for we all know how those reasons go. But of course, like, it's a lot of stuff coming out, a lot of things that I'm excited about. Definitely around the summertime, because everybody's like trying to hold out and be like, I'm gonna catch summer vibes. Oh, did it? Hello.
I can see you. Here you go. You got it.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know how much of that. Hello. Like, I wasn't sure. Nah.
Good.
Yeah. But yeah, it's more so, I got a lot of stuff coming out in the summertime. Spring, summer stuff. Which I'm really excited about.
I need to definitely do that. And whenever you're in New York, man, please link me. You gotta definitely pull up to my.
Yo, if I tell you, I ain't been to New York in 2 years, and it's killing me off, like, just because of COVID, and then I was supposed to go right when COVID first, like, when the quarantine and stuff first happened, it got canceled, so I've been itching, so I'll definitely hit you up, and we'll link up when I come out there, for sure, man. The vibes are definitely there.
Definitely, and I mean, if I'm in LA, I'll definitely link you.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, man, appreciate you coming on the show, man, and we're gonna definitely talk soon. You ain't gonna be a stranger.
Definitely. I appreciate you for having me, bro. All
right, man. Adrian, everybody.
All right, peace.
So, let's see how do I got it. Let's get Gen Z on the live.
What up, Gen Z? We go back. We go way back.
Now, how do I get? All right, that was Adrian, everybody. Let's get Gen Z on the live. Hey!
Hello.
What's up?
What's going on?
What up,
superstar? Not quite.
Definitely. All right, welcome to Black Culture to Break.
Thank you. Thank you. I am so excited to be doing this. And thank you, first of all. Let's start there. Thank you so much.
No worries. Appreciate you accepting the invitation and jumping on to just educate our audience on just dancing the brand. I'm saying, like,
absolutely
that out. So let's bring it back to the beginning.
Okay.
Age, did you start dancing professionally?
When did I start dancing? Oh my God. So first I want to say shout out to Justin. I met him at the Slut Walk. So he was like always so sweet. And Adrian's sister, like, I don't think people understand, like, I've been following dancers for the longest, and she's a legendary. Like, I remember her performance. It was her, Galen Hooks, and somebody else doing Knock You Down, I think, on David Letterman or one of the night shows with Carrie Hilson. Amazing. And she's danced with everybody you can name of. So, huge fan of his sister, big time. But I've been dancing since technically like the sixth grade, I would say. Like, I don't know how old I was then. I always say that. I don't know how old I was in sixth grade, but I've been dancing like since the sixth grade. But like, you know, like every state has like, you know, like an MLK rally. You know, every state kind of has like a, you know, Juneteenth kind of rally. So I would see local dance groups around that time, the Turkey Bowls, and I was fascinated with it. So I ended up joining a group around that time.
Okay. So you officially was like, I think I'm going to really try this. So then when did you say, I think I can make some money off it? When did
Oh my God, my baby cupcakes, my baby, yes. So I would say, in 2000, so I was in a, you know, popular dance group in Arizona called Ghetto Government. Then in 2000, Ghetto Government, yes.
Okay.
Yes, Ghetto Government. Then 2008, I branched off and started an all-female dance group with a partner named KT. And it was called FDIB, Females Do It Better. So, and I was known for like having some bad bitches in the group.
Okay.
Even if you couldn't dance, if you were like a bad bitch, we worked it out. You know? So with that, people started booking me for like local concerts, local music videos, like a local fashion show. So that's when I knew that, oh damn, like I could actually make a couple dollars off this. So that's what got me deep into like choreography as a profession is in 2008.
So for you, it was more like trial and error and kind of like going through the motion as it was happening.
Exactly. Because I love female, like, you know, working with females at the time. And we did so many shows. Like, it was ridiculous. And they were hot girls. So it just kind of snowball effect. And it just kind of grew from there.
So now, let me also ask you, you also were always in business savvy, because you said you went off and created a group with somebody. So not in addition to you knowing that you love dancing, you want to choreograph, you already started thinking about how to be a business.
Absolutely. Like, you have to be able to look around and do your research and realize, okay, bam, 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 wham. So yeah, like that's what got me into really figuring this out and knowing that I can make a couple dollars. Absolutely.
Now, when you actually collected your first check, were you, I want to know what, if you can remember that moment, were you just like, yo, I actually was able to really make a dollar off of something.
My first check as a choreographer, like for, or just like a local check?
Just making money from dance in general.
Well, that came not too far soon. I mean, it didn't come too far behind, like, because people was asking, oh, like, can y'all do my music video? Can you do this? Can you do that? So I was able to make a couple hundred dollars, you know, like back then, you know.
Okay.
100, 200 was
yes.
Okay. Right. 100, 200 was, you know, because at the time I was working retail. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I think I was working at Gap or H&M at the time. So, yeah, like, you know, so a couple of dollars wasn't bad, I would say.
Dollars wasn't bad?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Were you hip-hop, did you feel like you were going to be judged? Or did you, like, all right, now, how am I going to find my lane? Or am I not going to pay attention to what maybe the stereotypical dancer would look like?
And No, because back then I wasn't as fat as I was now. So no, like, and I kind of like, even in the group, I was always a little thicker, but I would be like shedding, like I would be working that motherfucking stage. And back then, when I would dance fast and get excited, I would be sloppy. Like, so I was killing it, but I was a sloppy dancer. Does that make sense?
Gotcha. I understand.
Yeah. I was sloppy.
In the controlling D, I know what it is. That was.
Yeah, so now I have a little bit more control. Like, now I know how to kind of, you know, gauge my control and be a little cleaner. But then, I was sloppy, but I wasn't as big as well. So I didn't really care what no one said about anything. Now, I'm different. But back then, no, at all.
How much of dance is actually physical for you, and how much of it is mental? Just and give that even some perspective to the people that actually want to get into this as a career. That, you know, they, oh, I'm training. But how much of it is really just mental? Talk to us about that.
Oh, I think a lot of it is mental, because I probably shouldn't say this. I don't like to rehearse. Like, me as a dancer, I don't like to rehearse. Like, even when I'm doing like my, so for example, I just did the Up Challenge and even the Body Yadi Challenge and all that kind of stuff. You know, I never got up and physically ran that routine in my head.
Mm.
No, I never physically got up and ran that routine on my body. It's been in my head the whole time.
Shoot.
Like, even when like I teach classes, of course, like, you know, I'll get with my assistant or something like that. Like, I'll make up the routine, but I can't run it like that. I just kind of got to nail it at the end. Versus, you know, back then as a dancer, of course, I had to rehearse. But now, me as an adult, I don't like to rehearse.
Okay. Now, what is the reason that you don't like to rehearse? Curiosity.
Well, I think was, so I got really fat. Like, I got really, really, really big. And I just would be so lazy in that sense. I was always so lazy to where, but I would know the choreography in my head so much that every time I got up, it was a smash. Yes. You know what I'm saying? But I just, rehearsing was not my best. Like, even, like, I have a couple dancers in the room. When, like, we would do shows and, like my first viral video was me, like, with a ponytail to Beyonce 7-Eleven. It was a whole bunch of girls in red, and I came out in black. I never rehearsed that routine because I thought that, oh, I made it up. I can just go out there and kill it whenever I want to.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of how my mind always processed things, unfortunately. But now, I know that since I lost that weight, I know that getting back in rehearsal and really getting down and dirty with the dancers is where it's at now.
It's definitely. But let me also ask you this, though, and say this. Manifestation and just being able to think about what it is it's going to look like and then doing it.
Yes.
How real is that? Because sometimes when you dance, you're just trying to go in, you're trying to go in, and you're like, I can't get the step because you're not downright for you to actually let it sit on your body because it's all mental.
Exactly. And I think that you should let it sit in, and you should really get up and, because as choreographers, we expect our dancers to go hard. Mm-hmm. So why do we feel like, oh, we know the choreography, we could just go in there and kill it? So I think that you have to change your mindset. You really have to change your mindset. And I think that manifesting that, okay, I'm going to work hard on this. I'm going to work just as hard as I expect my dancers to work hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's been a tough one. But since I've lost a lot of weight, I feel like, okay, I might can get down and dirty, because I've been just a choreographer. And sometimes I'm not always a student. Does that make sense?
Of course.
And that's being honest. Like, you know, and there's, like, I've been a student a couple times. Like there's some classes that I really wanted to take, and I took them in, like, LA and stuff. But, like a lot of times I'm thinking in the choreographer mindset where I'm not always a student. Mm-hmm. So I think now that I've, like, dropped over 100 pounds, it's time to come back a student, because I think it's going to make me a better, even more clearer, more sharper, more controlled dancer.
Okay, that's 100% facts. First of all, congratulations, you're losing 100 pounds.
Yes.
That's number one.
I got surgery last year. I got surgery last year in October, and because I was at 500 pounds. It was too much. It was uncomfortable. I couldn't walk from my room to the front door without my lower back hurting. Like, what I mean, like, looking for, like I was on set of a music video, and, you know, it was for a legendary artist that we know and love, and they had to paint my body as a flag. Standing up and doing that was torture. Torture. But now I'm good. Oh. Like, I was in New York doing the Wendy Williams show in 2017.
Okay.
And Wendy Williams had us at the W Hotel. I was choreographing for CeCe Peniston. And I needed to go get outfits for dancers. You know, Times Square is literally outside the W. Make a right, boom, you in the middle of everything. Do you know, walking from my hotel to Forever 21 was the worst pain I could ever endure? So I was so big and so out of shape. But now, I can't stop walking.
Okay.
Okay. Running.
Okay. And you're going to be dancing, and you dance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, you know, even for me as a choreographer, that's also too, is just being like, I'm so used to just doing my own choreo that you get out of just forgetting, like, yo, don't lose the essence of training and just staying brushed up on your technique, staying just sharp as a choreographer and dancer. You know what I'm saying? Should be able to demonstrate your steps, you know what I'm saying? I think that's so important.
Yes, it is.
And you know, appreciate you just being so and even sharing the journey with us.
Of course.
Now, let's get into this real quick. What was your first major gig? Who was, like, the artist that you worked with? Like, he's like, oh shit, I just got a major artist.
Whoa. There hasn't been too many, but I worked with a Canadian artist. She was huge in Canada. Her name was Kreisha Turner. So that was like technically my first one, but the first one that everybody knows was Wale. So at the time, I used to tag people in my posts. Like, I tagged so many people, people will block me sometimes.
Okay.
But I tagged so many different people, it was bananas. But my manager at the time was managing Wale and K. Michelle. And K. Michelle was getting ready for the BET Awards. So her choreographer was Mikey Minden. You know, he's known for his work with the Pussycat Dolls. Then she's great friends with Rhapsody, James. And so she could have called anybody. She DM'd me and said, how soon can you be in LA? Wale needs dancers. I was like, tomorrow, duh. So yeah, that was my first gig. It was for the BET Experience weekend on the 106 and Park stage, and it also broadcasted on Sports Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's super dope, and I feel like a lot of people don't work. You know what? Industry's changing so much now that the 106 and Park RLs and those, because I experienced here in New York. They used to have things, but now they don't have these little gigs. Now I feel like it's going to be different for these generation of dancers coming up.
Yeah, like choreography for me right now is goals. Like as we're speaking, the Grammys is airing right now. That's goals for me. Like that's goals, and I feel like. But, you know, I like what Adrian said earlier, how, like, you should go through all the steps because some of your favorite and top choreographers came up under someone or they were mentored in. A lot of my gigs came off of, like, me knowing someone. Like, Wale came from my manager, you know. Like again, at times she wasn't managing me. You know, when I did the Lizzo video, like, I choreographed the music video for Lizzo. That came from my manager because she was really good friends with the video commissioner at Atlantic Records. You know what I'm saying?
You being Lizzo permanent choreographer, okay?
You know what? She has an amazing choreographer and creative director named Jamal, or I think Jamal or Jamal. He's amazing. He has clients. Janelle Monae is his client. John Legend is his client. Lizzo's his client. I worked with her right before she blew up. Like, right before she blew up. And the video was called Phone. And she came to one of my classes in L.A. And I'm assuming she loved it because I ended up getting the job to choreograph her video. You know, so. But a lot of your, like, top-notch choreographers, like, came up under some amazing mentor. Like, Charm. Charm is one of your top choreographers today, like from Kendrick Lamar to Rosalita. Like she just did Super Bowl this year with The Weeknd. She came up under Fatima Robinson. You know what I'm saying? So Sean Bankhead, he was mentored by some of the greatest, like Fatima, Jamaica, you know, Jacquel, Frank Gadsden. You know, Frank Gadsden hired him for Michelle Williams, and now he's working with Beyonce. So a lot of your choreographers came up under someone or mentored under someone. And I feel like I'm not going to say that's where I am lacking or lacked, you know, but I think us that are not coming up, choreographers that are not coming up under someone as a mentor, we have to work extra hard for us to be seen,
yes,
and heard and
yes,
looked at. And there's still no guarantee that you're going to get in. There's still no guarantee because, like, these people, like, who am I? You know, your top choreographer. How do I know I can trust you by bringing you in to assist me? You know what I'm saying? So that's why friends of friends are getting those amazing jobs. And it happens that way, you know, it happens. And until somebody really sees you and believe in you, because this industry is all about who's going to open up a door for you and give you a shot, period.
You know, it's really an interesting thing because back in the day, people come up under something. And now that love is no longer there. It's almost like when you get competition. You know what I'm saying? So the camaraderie is not there anymore. It used to be. You know what I'm saying? I'm very nervous for what's going to happen to the next generation because, yeah. You know, but we are the kind of people that know that we have to kind of push our brand.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to give us. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah. I can't wait to rub elbows and work under some of the greats because Jacquel has been my favorite for a long time. Sean Bankhead is killing the game right now. Like, you know, but I still love some of, like, Jamaica might not post a lot, but Jamaica Craft is still that girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, Paris Goble is the girl right now. So, and there's so many other ones that are coming up and getting opportunities. So I think people need to continue to work hard and put out amazing content. And don't be afraid to slide in some people's DMs either.
Yes.
Networking is halving the battle. Halving the battle.
Yes.
Well, you know what, Gen Z? You are pulling up to New York City in a few. Yes. Right?
Yes. So
talk to us about what you got going on in New York.
Oh, my God. So I am teaching on Saturday with Chuck, but I'm also teaching at your studio on Friday. I'm super excited. I'm super, super, super excited about that. Like, you know, like I haven't been to New York in a while. Last time I was there was for the Woody Williams gig. But before that, I went on a tour and I taught at Ripley. I called all these places myself, booked the studios, booked my own flights, got my own hotels, and went on a little Gen Z Taught Me tour. And New York was the biggest turnout. Like, and I was late, you know, New York traffic, I don't know nothing about it, but I was about 15 minutes late, and I got off the elevator, and the 40, 50 people went crazy. I'm like, for little old me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could not believe it. So, but yeah, I'm teaching again in New York. Like, shout out to you and Chuck. Chuck has been so cool and so genuine. And, you know, I never want to feel like I'm riding somebody's wave, you know, but I know that, okay, my popularity in New York might not be what it was. So who could I reach out to see if they could host me? You know what I'm saying? Can you host my class? Because I used to do something in Arizona called Gen Z Russell Presents. I brought out Lark, Kira Harper, Chuck was one, Brooklyn J was one. You know what I'm saying? So I really rock people who believe in me. And when you was like, yo, like, because we connected on Clubhouse. I think I seen you on Clubhouse. We connected on Clubhouse. And for you to say, yo, you want to teach at my studio, like, that's real. Like, that's real right there. And I really appreciate people that are about giving other people's opportunities. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm teaching there Friday in Brooklyn. Never been to Brooklyn. I'm excited to be in Brooklyn.
I actually have the flyer ready. I'm so upset that I can't put it on the live right now because, you know, they just switched up all these new rules.
Oh, yes.
But if you guys...
That's okay. We're going to blast it.
Matter of fact, I think when we get off the live, my team should have it up on the page. So it should be up, and you guys can RSVP for Gen Z's class. Right?
You guys, it's a vibe. Like, a lot of people think because I'm bigger, I teach workout classes, and I teach Zumba. No, I fuck shit up.
Okay. Like,
yes!
Especially since I'm a couple pounds lighter, I'm ready to fuck shit up. So... Okay. I'm ready.
Yes.
No. I'm ready.
So, Gen Z, we're going to definitely be there to every step of the way on Friday. Make sure y'all sign up. Let's give Gen Z a sold out class. All right. And let's get the place cracking. But what's next for you? Talk.
Oh, my God. So, what's next for me? Continuing to get back to a space where I'm visible again. Because I was so big for, like, and I don't want to say it like that, but I got to a point where I was teaching from a chair. Like, but my assistant was so bananas that she understood. I could sit from a chair and tell her right hand up, rondejean around, spin around, drop to the floor, come back up. Without even showing her, she knew what I was talking about. So I would teach from a chair. She would assist me, and I would do professional gigs that way. So many things. So now that I'm lighter on my feet, I am ready to get back to a dancer space. I want to book some jobs as a dancer. I love the choreograph. It's my first love, but I want to book as a dancer. And I recently signed to MSA back in January of this year. So I'm just excited for what
this
is going to look like.
That's congrats.
Thank you.
Listen, you about to kick ass out here. I already feel the energy. I already feel, you know, and that's all it's about. When you already tell yourself, like, yo, I'm about to fuck shit up. You
know? I'm ready.
You know, it's about to get crazy. And we are about to get crazy in New York for you. I wish you the best of luck in everything that you do. And we're going to see in New York, and you're gonna tell in my class, do well with Chuck and whatever you can do after, right?
I'm excited to come to Brooklyn. I haven't been to Brooklyn, and I haven't been nowhere really outside of Manhattan.
Absolutely. Well, Kiana, make sure you pull up to Gen Z's class. Alicia, make sure you pull up to Gen Z's class, all right? Yes. Gonna be here, and she's definitely gonna give y'all that training. I'm out there in all places. So that's definitely that West Coast flip that we definitely haven't really gotten much of.
Yeah, I'm coming from Arizona. I'm ready.
Okay. Definitely do it. So you guys, now, are you tapping into your answer? He asked you this. Hey, you know she's going to be there. Well, you said, I got you. She's pulling up. Okay. Yes, so pulling up, Gen Z. So are you talking about doing visuals now? Where you at in the visual space?
Ask that again.
Where you at in the visual space?
Oh my God, visual space. I am really, really into, doing, great visuals right now. Like I said, getting back to being consistent, being consistent, being present. You know what I'm saying? Putting myself back out there now. So I'm ready. I think in the visual space, you guys get ready to start seeing some amazing visuals. You know, the girl you just interviewed on the live today, I forgot her name, Ballhead. Fly.
Tiffany Ray Beast.
Fly.
Definitely.
Makes no sense how fly she is. I was like, yo, you are fly. I can't.
So often, and she's so authentic. And she pull out, always pull out. But she's dope, Gen Z. You definitely got her. When you come out here, we're going to get you acclimated with everybody, you know what I'm saying? You definitely sharing this love, this black love on top of that.
Yes.
So, Kenzie, thank you so much for pulling up.
Of course.
Be on the lookout for upcoming months in addition to your class.
Yes. I don't think you understand how grateful I am. I'm super excited to teach and get, and bring in some heat, and I'm ready. I'm so ready. And I thank you. Once again, thank you so much.
Definitely. No worries, Gen Z. We're going to see each other on Friday. So
Friday, I'm going to be in the city.
All right, Gen Z, we'll talk soon.
You know where I need to go? I heard it might be in Harlem. Soul food place called, I think, Sylvia's?
Yes, this soul food spot. I've never been there before, but everyone talks about it.
Ooh. Are you from New York?
I'm from Jersey.
Jersey. Okay, I'll be in Jersey teaching on Sunday. But wait.
I live in New York. I live in Brooklyn, but I'm from Jersey.
I'm like, wait, and you ain't been to Sylvia's?
No, I ain't been to Sylvia's. It's too far. Harlem is far.
Harlem is far from New York?
It's a little, it's far.
From Brooklyn?
It's like, not like far, far, but it's a little far from me. If it's more than 20 minutes, I ain't going.
Nope.
Well, I might have to make a trip. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm sure I could find some soul food in Brooklyn, though.
Definitely find some soul food.
Yeah.
And we can definitely teach you some soul food spots.
I'm excited.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I'm ready. So I'm gonna see you soon.
We're going to see each other soon. Make sure y'all tapping in with Gen Z, everybody. We're dropping the flyer when I end this live so that it'll be everywhere. You guys can start RSVPing, and we're going to see you soon.
Perfect. I'll see you. Thank you so much. Bye, everybody. Good night. Bye, love.
So that was Gen Z. Yo, I appreciate every single one of y'all for tapping in. I'm going to actually end the live, and I'm going to start a new live again with my homie, the queen. All right, Miss Squats and Splits. Right. But before we do that, I want to just shout out to Justin Deshaun.
Yes.
All right. Tiffany Ray Beast.
Yes.
Caroline.
Yes.
Adrian.
Yes.
And Gen Z.
Yes.
Y'all were all fire. I feel like y'all all broke it down. Y'all gave us everything that we needed to really be successful as dancers and creating our own brands. I hope you guys took it all in. And, them gems are free. So make sure y'all take them and y'all process them. But I am your boy, Jersey. I am out of here. Make sure y'all tune in to see me and Squats and Splits dissect everything that just went down. Peace. Deuces.